Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 41, we read, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." The widow's 2 mites. Now when that poor widow woman cast in those 2 mites, which was an insignificant amount, but it was all she had, how much did she have left? Absolutely nothing. She had nothing left in her account. And the Lord's assessment was that she gave the largest gift. Now, some of those people may have cast in $1,000, $10,000. She cast in a dollar. Well, which gift is the largest, $10,000 or $1? Well, it depends on what they had left over after they gave the gift. Now, I have heard preachers use this to actually scold people about giving. It's not what you give, it's what you have left over that proves the reality of your gift. How does that make you feel? Guilty. Guilty. Nobody feels like they gave as much as they should, but that is wrong use of the scripture in the first place. Trying to use the scripture to manipulate someone and to get them to do something. That is not the purpose of scripture. That's not the purpose of this narrative. And this is not the Lord scolding his disciples about giving or what they had left over. What this is more than anything else is a portrait of faith. If you want to know what saving faith is, that faith which is the gift of God, the faith that saves, we have a beautiful portrait of that in this woman giving her 2 mites. Now, we read where many that were very rich cast in much. They gave large gifts. And I think it's interesting that the scripture points out that the Lord beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. He beheld how they did it. Not how much, but how they did it. What their motive was. Now, without question, there is something taught about giving in this passage. And giving is a very important issue. Giving says something about my love for the Lord. Giving says something about my trust in the Lord. Now, I always feel somewhat awkward talking about giving by the way preachers have abused it. When you hear preachers begging people for money so they can do God's work and trying to get people to give toward their, quote, ministries and so on, that is unclean. And if a man is begging you for money, he doesn't have any faith. I'm not going to beg you for money. If the Lord doesn't provide the money, I don't want to do it anyway. And I'm certainly not going to beg a man for money. I think it's shameful the way preachers do that. Even when preachers say, you know, you help us in this ministry, support this. No, you don't ask man for anything. You look to the Lord to provide the means. But that does not mean that this issue of giving is not very important. Now, let me give you what I believe the Scripture teaches with regard to this thing of giving. First, giving is a grace. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and all knowledge and all diligence and your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Now, giving is a grace given. If you can give, it's because God gave you the grace to give. It's just like faith. Faith is called the gift of His grace. Well, giving is called the gift of His grace. It's a grace that comes from God, this thing of giving. Now, the second scriptural word with regard to giving is love. 2 Corinthians 8:8 says, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. If you love somebody, you love to give to them. That's the definition of love. Love is giving. God so loved the world that He gave. And if you love your wife, you love to give things to her. You love your children, you love to give things to them. You love the Lord. It's your great privilege, the gift of His grace, to give toward Him. Now, the next word that's important to understand in this thing of giving is willing. Willing. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, if there be first a willing mind. Now, if you're not willing to give, don't give. Let me say this real clearly. God doesn't want anything from you that you don't give willingly. You see, it's not like He needs anything you have anyway. God's got plenty of money. He doesn't need your gifts. He doesn't need you to support His work. He says, the cattle on a thousand hills are mine. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you about it. God is rich, and He doesn't need what you have. So if you can't give willingly because you want to, don't give. If there be first a willing mind. Now, the next word is proportion. Listen to this scripture. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Now, that's how you give, as God has prospered you. Now, a lot of people try to teach tithing. Let me say this. Tithing's paying a bill. It's an Old Testament law, and Paul doesn't say give 10%. He says give as God has prospered you. I won't tell anybody what to give, but I will say this. You give as God has prospered you. Now, the next word that is very important is everyone. Let every one of you lay him by him in store. Now, don't think, well, I'm going to just wait for the people with more money to give. No, you give. You give. Don't wait for somebody else to give. You give. It's important for everyone to give. You say, well, I don't have much to give. Well, neither did the widow with two mites. She didn't have much, but look what the Lord said about her gift. He said she gave more than thou all. Let everyone give. And the next word would be bountifully, or liberally and generously. 2 Corinthians 9:6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Give generously. Oh, it's so beautiful to see a generous person as opposed to a stingy, grasping, covetous person. Give generously. And then the next scriptural word is give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. One who enjoys giving. Not one who's simply giving out of duty or because it's a law that's placed upon him. He gives cheerfully. God loveth a cheerful giver. And the eighth word with regard to giving is, remember this, as unto the Lord. Not to pay the bills, as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever you do, do heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You give as unto the Lord. And the ninth word is forget not. This is found in the book of Hebrews, but to do good and communicate or give, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Forget not. Now, the Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive, and what a blessing it is to give. And the Lord noticed how these people gave. He noticed the motive. He noticed the attitude. He noticed the generosity. He noticed how these people gave. He saw the cheerfulness. He saw the willingness. He noticed how these people gave. Now, let me remind you, God doesn't need your money. He's got plenty of money. He doesn't need your money, but what a blessing of grace it is to be privileged to give. And the Lord was watching these people throw their money into the treasury. And the scripture says, many that were rich threw in much. I don't know how much is, but it was a lot. Now, the Lord looks at what this widow gave, and it was just two mites. And he said she gave more than the ones who threw in such great riches. Now, giving out of abundance. I think of the richest men in the world. I read where there are five men in this world that are worth over $100 billion. Five men. Now, if these men gave $1 million, man, that's a big gift. Can you imagine being able to give $1 million? But if you take it down to proportion, that's like someone who has $100,000 giving you $1. That's what that is. So these people that gave much gave out of their abundance. But this poor widow woman cast in all that she had. How much was left after her gift? Nothing. Nothing. She, out of her want, not out of her abundance, not out of her riches, but she, out of her want, cast in all her living. She, out of her lack, out of her poverty, after her falling short, she gave out of her want. Now, this word want, remember the prodigal? When he began to be in want, that's when he started working for that citizen of the country, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks of the swine. He had nothing. When he began to be in want, he had nothing. That word is translated coming short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you haven't done anything. You've got nothing that measures up to the glory of God. Not a thing. She, out of her want, out of her absolute nothingness, out of her lack, she cast in all that she had. Now, somebody may say, how can you give when you have nothing to give? Well, there's only one way you can believe and trust, is when you have nothing to commit yourself to God. Now, please listen very carefully. You only trust Him when He is all you have to trust. You don't trust your works. You don't trust your experience. You don't trust your intentions. You don't trust your efforts to strive against sin. You don't trust anything but Him. He is all you have. If you have anything else, you have never trusted Him. Now, the Lord said, straight is the gate. It's a very narrow gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Now, this gate is so narrow that if you have anything more than Christ, you won't be able to get through the gate. The only person who gets through that gate is the person who all they have is Christ. They don't have any good works to trust. They don't have any experience to trust. They don't have any good intentions to trust. They don't have anything about themselves but sin. That's how they see themselves. They see themselves as nothing but sin. All they have to trust is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They have no personal righteousness. The only righteousness they have is the righteousness and merits of Jesus Christ. They have nothing else. The only person who sees Christ as all, and that's what the Scripture says He is. Colossians 3:11 says Christ is all and in all. The only person who sees Christ as all is the person who has nothing of themselves. If you have something, you cannot believe that Christ is all to you. It is impossible. It was out of her want, it was out of her destitute condition that she cast in her living. Now, if you have anything to recommend you to God, you exclude yourself. Now, the second thing I would notice about this woman's faith, this casting in of the two mites can be seen as the act of faith itself. Casting this money into the treasury. It's very much like putting money in a bank. Now, when I put money in a bank, my daughter takes pictures of checks and sends it to the bank. I can't do that. I have to go into the bank. I'm afraid it won't get there. It'll get lost in cyberspace somewhere. I got to go into the bank. It's only when I'm in the bank and place my money in the bank that I feel like it's safe. And you know, when I put that money in the bank, my hands are off at that point. I'm not worried about whether or not they keep it. If the bank is safe, I'm safe. If the bank fails, I fail. But it's up to the bank, not me. I can't keep that money safe. I can't keep that money secure. Now, this thing of faith in Christ, listen to this scripture. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul, the apostle, says, I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, I know what I believed. He said, I know whom. You see, what you believe is determined by who you believe. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Now, that word committed is deposited, entrusted, like you deposit money into the bank and you entrust the bank to take care of that money. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. I really believe this. He's persuaded me, and I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded in His ability. I'm persuaded that He is able to save me with no help from me. I'm persuaded that He is able to make me stand before God on judgment day without sin, perfectly justified. I'm persuaded of that. I'm persuaded of it. That He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him. Now, what have you committed to Him, Paul? The entire salvation of my soul. My hands are off. I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Now, here is my hope. It is finished. That's what the Lord said from the cross. It is finished. It is completed. There's nothing left for me to do. It's already been done. All that God requires of me, He looks to His Son for. Nothing else is needed. Now, what I think of when I think of that, I think of the thief. Remember what that thief said? Lord, remember all the good things I've done. Lord, remember all the good things I intend to do. Lord, remember me. Not what I've done. Remember me when you come into your kingdom, so that all that will be needed to be said on judgment day is, He's one of mine. I remember Him. I put away His sin. I gave Him my righteousness. He is complete in me. Oh, the thief said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I have no confidence in anything I have done or will do. My only hope, not in the fact that I'm a preacher, my only hope is that when you come back as a mighty reigning king, you'll remember me and say, He's one of mine. I died for Him. Oh, He's nothing in Himself, but I put away His sins and I gave Him my righteousness. Will anything else be needed other than that? The answer to that question is no. Now, the next thing I would notice about this dear, poor widow is she cast in all she had. You know what that means? She had no reserves. She had no plan B. She had no Swiss bank account with hidden funds. She was left to be completely dependent upon charity. She had nothing else. She was made to be completely dependent on the charity of God. She cast in all her living and she had nothing else. Completely dependent upon the charity of God. She had no works to hope in, no experience to hope in. She had nothing in her future that she hoped she would do. She had nothing in her past that she was leaning on. Now, the two biggest false refuges that people have are the past and the future. Looking at something you've done in the past, that's salvation by works. Looking at something you're going to do in the future, that's salvation by works. Those are false refuges that people have. But oh, this dear woman had nothing but dependence upon the charity of God. She was like that leper. Do you remember that leper in Matthew chapter 8 when he came up to the Lord and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, it's totally up to you. Notice he didn't say, I will accept you making me clean, or I'm going to let you make me clean. I'm going to accept your offer of being made clean. Nothing like that. That's so foolish in human religion. He said, if you will, my cleansing, my salvation is utterly, completely, and entirely in your hands. It's up to you as to whether or not I will be clean. If you will, you can make me clean. Now, you can leave me to myself if you will, and just and holy is your name, but if you will, you can make me clean. Now, the person I thought of also is Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. You see, this woman cast in all she had to live on, all of her living, and she's now become dependent upon charity. Mephibosheth, he was the son of Jonathan, David's friend, and they had made a covenant many years before. Jonathan said, I know that the Lord's going to make you the king of all of Israel, and what I want you to do is remember my descendants in mercy. And they agreed to do that. Years later, David says, is there any of the house of Jonathan that I, or any house of the Saul that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? Remember, Saul was his father. Saul was David's enemy. And David says, is there any of the house of Saul, my enemy, that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake. He remembered that covenant. And the servant, Ziba, said, yeah, there's one, but he's not worth much. His name is Mephibosheth. As a matter of fact, that name means shameful thing. He's lame in both of his feet. He was lame through a fall. And the reason I'm lame and you're lame, sinful, is because of the fall of our first father. He was lame through a fall, lame on both of his feet. He won't be any good to you. He can't work for you. He can't fight for you. All he can do is be carried. All he can do is be dependent upon your charity. And David said, go fetch him. And he told Mephibosheth, you're going to eat bread at my house continually. Oh, what a blessing. Carried by the charity of Christ. Now, the Lord said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now listen to me. I am totally dependent, 100% dependent upon Him. I'm dependent upon Him standing as my surety and taking full responsibility for my salvation. I'm dependent upon Him to keep the law for me and give His righteousness to me. I'm completely dependent upon Him dying for my sins and putting them away and making them not to be. I'm completely dependent upon Him to be raised from the dead for my justification. I'm dependent upon Him to raise me from the dead, dead in sins, and give me spiritual life. I'm dependent upon Him to preserve me and keep me and bring me into heaven. I am 100% dependent upon Him to do everything for me. Like that poor widow, I have nothing. I'm totally dependent upon His charity. Now, the Lord commended this woman. He said she cast in more than all of the rest of them. You see, faith, and this is what this is, faith pleases God. Because faith looks to Christ for everything. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Lord was pleased with this woman. Now, the reason He was pleased with her is because this woman looked only to Christ. And God knows that only what Christ does is what He can accept. And this woman knew that only what Christ has done would God accept. She was satisfied with the same thing God is satisfied with, Jesus Christ alone. And this woman gives us a beautiful illustration of saving faith.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.